All right, so I see that Joe's back. looks like the only member that's missing is Simone. I believe everyone else is present. If we can move on to the approval of the April 6th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that passes. And we're going to move on to the presentation from the Department of Ecology.
Hi, everybody. This is Laura, and sounds like we're ready for our organics management law. Many of you may know, I think, Peter, you're going to be talking. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So the presentation this evening will be given by Peter Gutchen. And certainly, if you have follow-up questions after this evening, feel free to reach out to me, and I can work with the team and get answers. So thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Laura. It's wonderful to be here tonight. Thank you for the invitation. I'm assuming you're seeing my slides right now, full screen?
Yep.
Awesome. I got it right this time. So in addition to Laura from the Department of Ecology, who I think you all know, who's your esteemed solid waste planner, Elizabeth Court from our program is also on the call. She's going to be monitoring the chat. She may put some links in the chat as we go through the presentation so you can access additional resources. Elizabeth joined our team a couple of months ago and is helping us implement this new organic management law. So I'm going to dive right in, and we can save questions to the end. Before we get started, I just want to thank Joelle and Julie in particular for the help they've given us to figure out how this complex new law actually applies in Clark County. And you'll see some of the results of our conversations in this presentation. So the new organics management law, it was House Bill 1799, passed in 2022. And really, you might actually, you know, want to call this a climate bill. The reason this bill passed is because of the contribution of methane released from landfills to greenhouse gas emissions. And as you can see, landfills are one of the biggest sources of greenhouse gases. That's why this bill passed, and that's why there's so much focus on diverting organics from landfills. And why organics? Because according to the EPA, at least nationally, MSW landfills contribute about 15% of methane emissions across the country. And why methane? Well, methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. It's 28 times more potent than carbon dioxide over 100 years. But more importantly, over a shorter term, over 20 years, it's about 85%, 85 times more potent. And it doesn't last in the atmosphere that long. So we can get a lot more bang for the buck if we're able to reduce methane emissions. And that's why we're focused on organics, on agriculture, on the food system, and the other kinds of organics that end up in landfills. And we generate a lot of organics here in Washington State. Our recent waste composition study showed close to 23% by weight of what we send to landfills is organic material. And if you include some of the other materials like wood debris and some of the construction materials that are also organics, it's by far the largest contributor to solid waste in our state. So the bill addresses the generation of organics and the greenhouse gases that are emitted when organics are disposed in a landfill and start to decompose by looking at all of the various parts of our organic management system that need to come together for this to work. And that includes researching new strategies, always putting prevention first where that's possible to reduce the generation, especially of food waste. We need a robust collection system of organics, the capacity to process that into beneficial new products. And when those products are produced, we need markets for those products so that they can be used to improve in projects in our communities. So the organic management law sets some extraordinarily ambitious goals. By 2030, to divert 75% of previously disposed organic materials from landfills, and then to rescue 20% of disposed edible food for human consumption. So expanding programs that divert food, especially perishable edible food, from restaurants, schools, those types of places, to feed people in need. So these are some of the areas that are addressed in the law, all the various parts of the system. I'm going to be covering the impacts of the law on local governments and local communities, although many of these pieces, though, are going to be important for the implementation of this law and the and our ability to achieve our goals. All of these pieces of the law are going to need to come together. So one of the local government impacts that specifically applies to jurisdictions in Clark County is the requirement for some cities and counties and town and cities and counties to adopt compost procurement ordinances. So the criteria that the statute sets for what jurisdictions are required to prepare ordinances are counties and cities with a population of more than 25,000 and communities in which curbside organics collection services doesn't need to include food. It can be just a yard waste program where those services are currently offered. And they need to be offered in a way the local government needs to actually take a direct action to require those services be provided. So counties and cities that contract to provide or require the G-certificated hauler to provide, or in the case of a city, services that are provided on their own, if those services are offered, then the compost procurement ordinance requirement also applies. So we had to find out a lot about what was going on around the state. We couldn't just use a population filter. We had to figure out where in the state organics management collection services were being provided. Based on our initial assessment, we've identified 131 jurisdictions, and we're making some good progress so far. Many jurisdictions, including the city of Vancouver, have adopted their ordinances, and we keep getting more every week. The adoption of the ordinance is only one part of the requirement that's focused on helping to strengthen markets for the additional compost that will be collected as we make progress toward achieving our goals. So local governments that are required to adopt an ordinance are also required to report some data to us, to report compost purchases. So projects, a compost that a local government might use in a parks project or a public works project, or compost that might be used by someone that the jurisdiction hires, contracts with to do a project. And to report the amount of organic material diverted from disposal. And you can read some of the sources of that material that we'll be looking to have reported to us. The reports for 2023 data, as much of that as you're able to gather, understanding these systems are still in development, by the end of next year, 2024, and then every 2 years going forward. So here are the jurisdictions that we've determined are where the requirement to adopt a compost procurement ordinance would apply. And this is based on our current understanding of what kinds of services are currently offered in those communities. And I'm going to be talking to Derek in the next little bit to make sure that all of this data is correct. But this is our current determination based on what we currently know. The law also requires in some parts of the state that businesses, and this is what's defined as a business, it doesn't include multifamily residential complexes, but it does basically include everything else that's not residential. And these business collection requirements apply if services are available, including food. There are facilities to accept that have the ability to accept new materials. We'll talk about that in a moment. And the amount of organic material and solid waste produced in a particular part of the state. So based on our meeting earlier this week with Julie and Joelle, we learned that your transfer facilities now in Clark County don't have much of any additional capacity to accept additional material, especially from large generators of organics from businesses. And for that reason, Clark County at this point in time is fully exempt from the business collection requirements. We are required by July 1 of this year to post our determination of where these collection requirements apply in the state. And that map, based on our current information, will show that they don't apply in Clark County. However, every year we will be doing another assessment, posting it by July 1 of every year going forward. And if conditions change in Clark County, there may be parts of the county where these collection requirements may apply in the future. You can see right now, based on our assessment, that the only areas in the state right now are those in blue that we've determined these collection requirements would apply. These are areas typically more densely populated areas with large compost facilities that are able to accept the materials that will be generated through these new requirements. The other requirement related to collection are residential and, quote, non-residential collection requirements that will kick in 2027. And these are for generators that were not impacted by the business collection requirements in previous years. And the requirements that kick in 2027 apply to all residential customers and all non-residential customers, essentially all non-residential customers would need to have the service available to them in particular parts of the state that meet certain criteria. In this case, there is no requirement that a household or a business subscribe to the service, just that the service is available. There are some areas that under the law are categorically exempt. And there is the possibility of requesting a waiver if certain criteria are met. So we are developing that waiver process. And if we make a determination that these requirements apply in a certain area and a local government thinks they should be exempt for some reason, this process will allow them to request that exemption. So based on our current analysis, these areas in blue and in purple are the areas where the collection requirements would apply statewide. And in Clark County, the areas that would be impacted by these collection requirements are those that are in blue and light blue. The blue areas are the incorporated cities where these collection requirements would apply. And the light blue areas are the urban growth areas for those cities. Based on the information that we've already gathered for Clark County, our understanding is that all of these areas are currently in compliance with this requirement because these services are currently offered. So the only two cities in the county where these collection requirements would apply are Camas and Vancouver. The other cities are exempt, but they are already in compliance, even if in the future their population either grows to a point where they are required to provide this service or one of the other criteria kicks in. The law specifically says that in UGAs for incorporated cities, like Vancouver and Camas, where these collection requirements apply, that the requirements would also apply in those cities' urban growth areas. So I'm almost done here. This is the timeline going forward for all of the key provisions in the bill. Many of them don't directly affect local governments or require action by local governments, but again, they all need to come together for these improvements, these shifts in our system to allow us to achieve our goals. And this is a timeline that shows those specific requirements that apply to local governments. January 1 of this year for the compost procurement ordinances, that was, and even the drafters of the bill have told us they understand it's an unrealistic deadline for many local governments. And as I mentioned earlier, many local governments have already taken action to adopt these ordinances. In July, we'll post our determinations of where business collection requirements apply. As I mentioned earlier, right now, our determination is that they don't apply in Clark County. There will be some impacts on your plan update because plan updates that begin next year need to identify priority sites for new organic management facilities. There's no requirement that actually a new facility be sited. This is something that we'll provide additional guidance to you about as you do your plan update. And then you can see some of these other requirements. The other one that I covered in this presentation are the ones that kick in January 2027, those collection requirements. So we have a lot of resources. I think Elizabeth may be putting some of them in the chat, and we will certainly make those available to you after this presentation.
Yeah, Peter, I'm going to jump in here. I think we only have, there are quite a few people that are in the room there. So I think we'll just send them all out by email. Is that okay with you?
Yes, that's fine.
Because that way everybody will just get them. And I'm happy to do that if I just know which ones you want me to send.
That's great. And Allie King Fisher is leading our effort. She is coordinating all of the work we're doing to implement this law and helping to stand up the Center for Sustainable Food Management, which will be focused on, for example, diverting perishable edible food to people in need. So at this point, are there any questions?
I have a question for you, Peter.
Yes.
About the exemption process, how long will local agencies be able to obtain exemptions? And is there any, like, teeth to continuing to request exemptions? Like, let's just say, I feel like I don't want to do any organics management within my jurisdiction. It's not for me. It's not for us. Is there any teeth to forcing the locals to do it, or is it all just a voluntary basis?
So I wouldn't say that it's a voluntary basis. If a jurisdiction meets certain criteria, then these collection requirements would apply. So for the business collection requirements, there are two criteria. One is that the service, the collection service, is offered, and it needs to be a regularly routed service, not just a pig farmer going to a grocery store to pick up food. It needs to be a reliable curbside service. It needs to be that's a service that picks up the material directly from the business. And there needs to be capacity in the system to handle additional volumes. And what we learned, as I mentioned earlier, is that capacity at this point in time, until your facilities are improved, does not, or expanded, does not exist in Clark County. Every year, we will go back and assess whether conditions have changed. And then if at that point in time we determine that, well, the capacity does appear now to be available, we will then post that as our determination. We will do that in partnership with you. We will talk through what's going on, and we won't shift that determination if, based on our conversations, like the one we have this week with Joelle and Julie, that it's still not feasible to make this work. The 2027 collection requirements, we are tasked with developing a formal waiver process. So I'm not sure exactly what that will look like, but you will need to cite specific criteria, and there's some of that listed in the statutes, to request a waiver from the collection, the requirement to offer curbside collection services to residential and non-residential customers. That waiver will last for 5 years. So it's a renewable waiver, and at least the way the statute is currently existing, once you're issued a waiver, it will stay in place for up to 5 years. Kim?
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Cool. So, you know, in locations like ours where capacity is limited, is the state have any programs, or looking into the future, having programs to try to help build capacity, whether that's, you know, the capital facilities or otherwise?
So one of the things, and we'll include this with the resources that we provide to you, will be some funding opportunities available, the kinds of funding opportunities that are available to local governments to help support the implementation of this law and in some cases, the expansion of compost facility capacity. One of the things that the bill did was specifically add organic management facilities to the lists of projects that are eligible under the Public Works Trust Fund. And those applications are now open. And we are encouraging local governments to seize that opportunity. Again, it's a local government decision how you want to tap into those dollars, and there may be other priorities. But I appreciate your asking that question because I think that will be a helpful resource to you.
Thank you.
Mike, I've got a question. Based on your definition of a business that you presented earlier in this slideshow, you mentioned that it included nonprofits. In Vancouver, we've got a food bank that, by your definition, has scheduled pickup from businesses of biomaterial that is edible. And so my question is, in the way you're looking at this, will the tonnage of the food that they collect as salvageable and reusable count towards the tonnage of Clark County or Vancouver?
Hey, I'm sorry, Doug. It's Elizabeth Court here. I know we're way over time or pretty much getting there. I've been taking notes for your questions. I think we need to take your question, and Peter and I will be back with you and Laura. At this time, I know we're out of time, and I want to thank everybody for your questions. Please put any other questions in the chat or email them to Joelle or Julie, and we'll take care of those down the road. But I know at this time we're out of time. So thank you so much.
Will that work for folks? Joelle?
Yes, thank you so much, Peter. It was a really, really great presentation. Thank you. We have the slides you guys sent, so we'll email them out. And then if you want to just send questions to me, Julie, Amber, and we'll get them answered.
That sounds great. Again, thank you so much for your time. And we'll continue this conversation.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Moving on to updates. Solid Waste Enforcement, Melissa.
Hello. Hi, Melissa, Solid Waste Enforcement. Nice to see you all virtually, in person. I love the in-person. It's where I connect and get to know everyone better. So I have a slide presentation that Amber's going to try and pull up. For the sake of time and brevity, I will try to be quick and concise.
Bear with me here a moment.
Go to the top where it says slideshow.
Well, I have to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's my mouse go. I'm trying to make this smaller. I am not going to do slideshow because that always brings it up on
full screen.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do multiple things at once.
Okay.
Gosh darn it.
At the same time, I can just start. Solid Waste Enforcement, we have additional funds that came in to cover us for Q7, Q8 of our grant. So thank you so much, Ecology, and to all of our finance team for making all of that happen. We have a shortfall every biennium, so we ask and beg Ecology to please keep funding us so that I can keep doing what I do for the last two quarters of our grants. And this year we received an additional $36,214 to help out with this last two quarters. For the next grant cycle, that opened up on, I'm on the first slide, or the next slide. It opened up on April 11th, closes on May 9th, which is pretty short. We submitted our for Ecology to do their end. Solid Waste Enforcement, with this funding, I will cover 1FTE plus Kimberly for 2 years. Again, so we've asked for money up front to cover that shortfall. If there's any unrequested funds from other communities that have a bank of money, and they will allocate and distribute that equally. And then again, Q6, of the next biennium, we can ask for monies that counties or other municipalities have not utilized for solid waste enforcement. So we anticipate a shortfall of approximately $164,000 on the next biennium. So a little bit of a shortfall when you think that we got only $36,000 this year. We are hoping to add a one-quarter FTE to the solid waste enforcement program to help me with solid waste nuisance complaints. So I can focus a little bit more time on our facilities and inspections and permitting. Our exempt solid waste facilities have come in droves and overwhelmed me. So while we don't get a solid waste handling permit fee to help fund and offset that, ecology has a statutory regulatory authority. However, public health does still do annual inspections. We follow up on complaints and do those kinds of things and work them through the approval process. So it is time consuming, and I want to really focus on facilities and not be dragged into other complaints stuff. So we are asking for additional funds to help support another partial FTE to help me out a little bit. Go ahead. So for the Q1, I did 13 facility inspections. We had one new facility, which was an exempt facility, Three Kings Environmental, doing business as Majestic Industrial Center. They're calling it MIC. and then I'll go into that a little bit more later, show you where that is. We got 27 complaints in and 20 complaints resolved. So, yay! if you might recall from the last SWAC meeting, I mentioned that WSDOT, Washington State Department of Transportation, they are interested in a solid waste handling permit for what they are calling the Salmon Creek Stockpile Pit. It's located at the apex of 205 and I-5 in Salmon Creek. They sent in their draft operation plan. Ecology and I reviewed it. 3 weeks later, they said thanks. A month later, they said, would you like us to do track changes when we do this? And we said, yeah, that would be great. And that is all we've heard. So, kind of crickets, but any day it could come in or it could not come in. So it just depends on what they end up doing. If it were to come in, say, by June 1st, we would be about the same time frame that we were last year with the Battleground Decamp facility. With that 90-day approval process, we would be looking at a September SWAC special session and hopefully approval later that month. So it would ramp up really quick if they do submit something, but right now I haven't even gotten the second draft version back yet. So the wheels are moving a little bit slow. They were hoping to start this summer. That's probably going to happen. So next. Yep, so this is our Three Kings Environmental, their solid waste exemption. We gave them a conditional approval. We had comments from Ecology. They're needing a construction stormwater general permit. Clark County Community Development already had given them preliminary approval. South Coast Clean Air Agency said their equipment's approved and permitted, but they haven't paid a permit fee this year. So they're going to have to get that in line. And then the property served by an on-site septic system. So we also provided them information to make sure that they're preserving the land for the resort area, but also not damaging the septic system that's on that property. This is a map, just in case anyone's curious where these facilities are going. So in the orange, yellow, I have highlighted where there's the Salmon Creek Fred Meyer. If you go due north, where they have that new 10th Avenue intersection, right at that corner, just past that on the right-hand side is the new, this new facility.
So at that facility, what exactly are they doing?
So they're
co-mingled bricks.
Yeah, concrete, asphalt, co-mingled bricks in their material. They're crushing it with a permit that's through Southwest Clean Air, and they have approval through community development. to do land filling and land raising with that clean fill. And once that project is completed, they will presumably continue the operation and then sell that clean fill for other various projects in the community and other contractors. We have a unique complaint that came in this that I've been dealing with. It is conveniently called Circle C. We have renamed it Circle C Rock, so we can differentiate it from Circle C Landfill. So I've given this map so that you can see they are very different. They are not owned by the same people. I think once upon a time, the Carlsons, who have Circle C Landfill, maybe had affiliation with this rock pit, and that's why it's still called Circle C, but so we're calling it Circle C Rock. I just did this for an illustration so that you can see that they are very different. The property in question, Circle C Rock, is west of Alene and the I-5 interchange in wooded, tree, remote neighborhood. So here's some pictures. We were notified from Washington State Department of Ecology last April that there's this company, they have all of this concrete, wood waste, scrap metal. There's an RV on site. No one really knows what they're doing. They're not approved. They don't have conditional exemption. So Jessica McConnell, who's with Sand and Gravel, she's tried working with them for 4 months to get them a sand and gravel permit. They didn't fill out the paperwork. So in August, we all shoot out there. Myself, Derek Rocket from Solid Waste Ecology, Clint Lamoureux, the Southwest State Mayor, Mike Boyer from Code Enforcement, and all converged on the property to sort everything out. He was told he needs an exemption for solid waste exemption for the processing of the concrete, asphalt, wood waste, and the scrap metal bin that he had on his property. He's crushing the material and then using it as a road base on the property. The picture in the lower left-hand corner is a zoomed-in picture. It is not clean fill that he's filling and using as a sub base and a road base. And it's full of scrap metal and metal pieces and nails and screws. And we walked a certain distance. He's like, I bet you can't find 10 pieces before we get to the end. And I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got to 10 real quick. I think there's 10 in this one picture, if you zoom in on it. So it's not clean material. It's not, what they're doing is not environmentally sound. So Derek sent him, next one. So this is kind of our rundown. Derek Rocket from Ecology. Again, Ecology is the lead regulatory agency for exempt facilities. Derek sent him a notice. We were there the 23rd, sent him a notice on the 25th of August, giving him until the 8th of September. He then, John Van Bessem is the owner's name. He put him in touch with a contractor who went back and forth of things. By November 15th, Derek still hadn't gotten the documentation. He sent another notice of violation, giving them until December 8th. Back and forth with the contractor again. Again, at the end of the day, they never got anything. So finally, April 3rd, Ecology, Derek got approval from his supervisor to issue a notice to public health saying they haven't got the exemption, they're not in compliance, they need a solid waste handling permit. So we received that on the 3rd electronically. On the 6th of April, Ecology staff went back out to the site for a reinspection, which included their industrial stormwater folks. They collected some samples of the runoff that was coming from this inert crush material and the runoff that is impacting other properties. One of the samples was had a pH of 10.06 and one had a pH of 9.94. So much higher than the allowable discharge. So Ecology is going to be issuing them a violation penalty, a financial penalty. Mr. Van Bessem was given until April 21st to submit again the sand and gravel permit paperwork. He failed to do so. So Ecology is going to be issuing the full penalty that they are allowed. At this point, that financial penalty has not been sent out, and we're waiting. On the 27th of April, we had a meeting with Dr. Melnick, our health officer, Dr. Prager, our co-health officer, our health department director, Roxanne, and also my supervisor, ecology folks. We all had a powwow. Code enforcement came back out into that conversation, and we kind of let it that ecology is going to go through with their enforcement piece on the illicit discharge. Code enforcement is going to review the site for illegal structures they have and also possible illegal fill and grade. And then ecology is going to do the discharge, and public health is going to address the on-site sewage components that they may or may not have serving their occupied RV that's on the property. So it's a lot going on at the site. Again, ecology sent a letter that they need the solid waste handling permit. Based on, they sent that on the 3rd. Based on the, what came through on the 6th with the high pH, unfortunately, I'm not able to issue a permit because in order for us to issue a solid waste handling permit, they have to be in compliance with the performance standards of WAC 173.350, which says thou shalt be in compliance with all federal, state, and local rules and regulations. So their violation of the illicit discharge nullifies their ability to get a solid waste handling permit, and that's why I'm not on that enforcement piece, and that's why we are trying to get over to ecology to address the illicit discharge. Once we get the illicit discharge thing worked out, then we can either try to go through the exemption process again, or if the ecology says they need a solid waste handling permit, I will be back meeting with you to try to approve the site for the solid waste handling permit. It's a mess. It's a lot. So when ecology went back out on the 6th of April, this is some of the things that they found. This is one of the new structures they constructed without benefit of permit, as you might be able to see. They also have a large accumulation of scrap metal at the property, and that would also fall under that solid waste exemption for materials that they're processing, and then pictures of the pH meter.
So during this whole process, they've been operating the entire time?
They have been, yes.
Okay, so yeah. What is it?
We are working with our prosecuting attorney was also on the call on the 27th, and our code enforcement has better infrastructure to issue stop work orders and those kinds of things, and so that's why we're bringing them into that conversation and having them issue a stop work order. Jessica from Ecology said when she was there in April, they stopped actively crushing, but the crusher is not on site. So there's not currently
a step in the right direction.
Yeah. So, yeah. Alan is hopeful that we can have some efforts to have them remove the material to protect the environment and public health.
Yeah, and you mentioned a contractor working with, they were working with a contractor.
With a consultant.
So that was to get in compliance or to remediation or what?
To complete the notice of intent for solid waste exemption.
They didn't follow through on that.
No. Okay. Thank you all.
All right, solid waste operations, Noelle.
So I'm going to blow through this pretty quickly just because I want to keep us on track with all the other things we want to talk about. So just like Melissa said, with her side of the local solid waste financial assistance grant, we also applied so that our application has been submitted, and I will let you all know probably at the next meeting what Ecology says back as we work to sort of fine-tune and refine that agreement. The solid waste management plan, I sent everyone out an email in late April just to give an idea of the timeline, and I know, Jason, you followed up with that. So we're going to have conversations, and we're going to be a lot more clear with expectations and timelines, and feel free to reach out, email me questions. But moving forward, we're going to be a lot more clear on
where we are with that process. This is a long process, and it's a process that needs to be ongoing. We're supposed to be updating this every 5 years, but oftentimes we need to be doing amendments and adding to the plan. And just like Ecology said, you know, so even we'll get it adopted and we're going to go right into the amendment process. So this will be something we're always doing together. So I just wanted to mention that. We are still in process with contract negotiations with CRC. And Sarah Kearns and I have been doing outreach with Yackel's Battleground and LaCenter to start discussing the collections contract. So we were at the Battleground City Council meeting with Doug Drennan and just available. And then we were at LaCenter last week, and I was on the phone with Yackel. Their city council meeting, I think, is, or town council is next week or the week after. Some first week of June, I think. But we're just helping them prepare their packet. They didn't ask us to be there. So just wanted to give some updates about that. And I'll pass it off to Sarah.
All right, perfect. Sarah, you're up.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you've all have seen the reference of all of the work that the outreach team has been up to so far this year. I just wanted to take a minute. I'll be super fast to highlight some of the projects that we're working on that are around food waste, composting, and prevention. So for our second year ever, we participated in the National Food Waste Prevention Week, and we offered tips and tricks to residents for how to plan meals and how to properly store food to prevent it from spoiling and going to waste. Along the lines of the Green Schools program, we launched new share tables at Hawkinson Middle School to increase the amount of recycling and composting. And then also earlier this year, the Composter Recycler program wrapped up their annual training with a record number of attendees. We had 45 participants make it through and become certified in that program. So they're now out in the community and educating others about the value of composting and ways to prevent waste and recycle. And then last but not least, I'm really excited to say that the green business lead position that we have is filled. So Selena Montgomery started on April 1st. And she will now be leading our efforts to do outreach to the business community.
Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Sarah. You froze.
All right. I think Vancouver's next will be brief as well. And thank you for your time, Swack. Happy May the 4th. As Ecology presented and noted, we're deep in the thick of interpreting or asking questions so that thoughtful interpretations of the new organics management law are carried forward. We're implementing elements of the compost procurement ordinance, which includes a policy, and we'll be working to do new RFPs for both procurement of compost and or yard debris contracts with vendors that have been through the notification of exemption process, as Melissa Sutton noted earlier, and are compliant with public health guidance to receive yard debris from our regional and local coupon programs. And in vain with the coupon program, Vancouver's annual spring coupon program is running now, early April through the end of June, 3 months for residents to bring in yard debris to designated disposal sites at no cost to them, and then tires as well. In addition, this year, we've resumed our neighborhood cleanup events in the traditional style that neighborhoods come together, meet a Waste Connections driver crew on a Saturday, and accept bulky items, yard debris and scrap metal. And those events were largely paused during the pandemic, came back last year, but really we're seeing a return to the pre-pandemic cleanup events in terms of tonnage and participation. In addition to that service, we provide residents with bulky item pickup service. And what Vancouver and Waste Connections offer is free pickup of 1 to 5 items for households anytime throughout the year. And we're seeing noticeable participation increase through this pilot program that is looking really successful for avoiding trips to the transfer station for those 1Z, 2Z bulky items. And that's all from Vancouver.
All right, thanks, Julie. Derek, you're up next.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I, too, will be quick. It actually was a fairly quiet time for us, which has been nice. The weather has certainly stalled volumes across the board on routes and at the transfer stations. And we're, you know, seeing some of the impacts of the slowing economy as well. So, for example, curbside recyclables are down about 7 to 8% year over year. So consumption levels in general in Clark County have been down significantly. But with the good weather last week starting, we definitely saw customers coming back to the transfer stations. We were up to over 600 tons of non-route material coming in on certain days of the week, and that's a pretty heavy day for us when that's happening. So it was the good and the bad of it. Staffing-wise, we're pretty well staffed up at this point. We did hire the last of our education and outreach staff members started this week. And so we have two cart taggers now who are out doing education on the streets, which is nice, as well as the rest of our team for education and outreach. We talked about contracts that are ongoing or contract negotiations that are ongoing. Commodities are continuing to move well. So all of those recyclables, the cardboard, the paper, everything else is has good markets right now as far as availability. It's just that the pricing is at record lows, so it's been a real challenge on that front. I think Q4 was probably the worst pricing we've seen in the Northwest in all the time I've been doing it. It's starting to matriculate back up. It's just going to be a slow process. And then the last thing is we are, I think I've talked about it a few times, we're working on automating the remainder of Clark County for garbage. That's about 51,000 homes in the urban growth area. We did rural Yakult, La Center, and Battleground last year, and then we're finishing up with the homes in the urban growth area this year. And we've had some delays in delivery of the trucks that we ordered. We have 14 trucks coming for the project. They were supposed to be here in February, then March, now April, and we're hoping to see the first four of them by the end of May is what we're being told right now. So we've moved the start of that project back to early July in hopes of basically we'll roll it out. We'll do two routes a week for 7 weeks is the intent of the project. So it's going to take us a little while to get it done. But just due to the sheer quantity of the customers we're talking about, we can only do two at a time with the cart delivery vendor that we're using. And then everybody in Clark County will have fully automated services, which will be nice. That's all I got.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. All right. Moving on to item four, chapter one, information and administration of our solid waste management plan. Doug, you're up.
Okay. Let me get my screen. Okay. So I need to share this.
Do it too, right?
Do you see it?
Not yet, but something's happening.
Got it yet?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I've been tasked today to review with you the status of certain chapters of the solid waste plan update. So the first one is this chapter one. Just to give you an idea, it's the introduction, administration, enforcement chapter of the plan. It's really a lot of boilerplate, but just to go overview, you know, the introduction includes the statement of the purpose and the goals of the and mission of the plan. Also outlines federal and state guidelines that, you know, regulate the business of solid waste. It also talks about the administration, the current administration, roles and responsibilities of the counties, as well as the various parties. And finally, it discusses enforcement related to activities to support implementation, such as health department, special waste management, and other issues. By and large, most of the from this plan that was really adopted mostly by the city, or I mean the county was writing it. So with that overview, I'm just going to cover the primary recommendations. So the first recommendation is to continue to maintain the regional system steering committee through the interlocal agreements as a guidance for moving forward with decisions and policies. We'll continue to work with Portland Metro to advance proposals that mutually benefit. You know, there's a lot of synergies between the Portland marketplace and the fact that we're so close to them that when they adopt certain programs and policies, you know, we want to make sure those impacts are accounted for as well as vice versa. This has been ongoing. Counties and cities should continue to develop ordinance to strengthen or allow enforcement of existing regulations. Again, there's no major changes to this, but this is just a continuation of through the management structure. There's a recommendation for city counties to update the ordinance to regulate on-site burial of solid waste. I'm not sure if this is related, Joelle, to seeing more roadside dumping or anything like that, but this was a recommendation to strengthen that situation for enforcement. Adopt ordinance for expanding enforcement for unsecured loads. Certainly, there's currently a policy to secure your loads, transport it, to reduce any kind of residue that falls on the road and litter. So again, this is an effort to strengthen and that enforcement. There is updating some of the ordinances to directing waste to the designated disposal sites. This is something that has to be done on a regular basis to ensure compatibility and of the system. And then these final recommendations are really still in draft form as we're still developing the regional solid waste phase one or phase two of the regional solid waste study. The future ownership and administration will continue to be evaluated and working with all stakeholders to develop a strategy as part of our services with working with the phase two regional study. We're doing ongoing meetings with the ownership and operations contracts and those options. So the plan recommending to continue that process. The county will continue to work with the regional steering committee and SWAC to present this information, develop consistent on whether the transfer station should be publicly owned. This is still an item in the negotiations, but for a general policy statement within the plan, this recommendation has been made, and city and county should act to decide on this public ownership. Now, again, this is a draft recommendation in the plan. It really endorses the continuation of this work and makes no decision at this time. So with that, I'll just leave it with any time for any questions regarding this chapter of the plan.
Thank you so much, Doug. I want to just clarify, too, that there's been a little bit of confusion about the regional system study recommendations, and those were because you're working on getting phase one and two compiled. And so Jason has a few things that he would like SWAC to vote on, and those are related to the regional system study. Those will eventually fold into chapter one of the solid waste management plan, but just almost think of it like little Russian nesting dolls where we're like pulling so this is sort of like we need to decide, you know, SWAC needs to decide on these actions. These actions will eventually fall into this chapter. So I thank you, Doug, for presenting it that way. Like those final recommendations he showed are draft recommendations. There's absolutely opportunity to have discussion to bring concerns to us that, you know, as we're moving forward with this study. So just want to.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
The process, the group that you mentioned, is that the public works directors from the different areas that we just
said? Yeah, the regional. Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm putting the pieces together.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't know if it's appropriate for this section of the plan, but one of the things that I found was that maybe, and I apologize because I'm the novice in the group stuff, is that there's a lot of terminology that is used and acronyms and whatnot that are used and there's no reference. So the idea of a glossary of the extended definitions of these organizations and then some of the terms, I mean, it took me about 5 tries before I locked into even the proper interpretation of a MERC. So,
being a government employee, I feel you because it's all acronyms. So we are that's going to be part of the appendices if we do have a definition system. But if you find additional ones, absolutely bring them to us. Hey, this needs to be defined.
And then I'm not going to waste your time trying to find the notes, but it seemed to me at the final end of this chapter one, I believe, was the area where you talked about new areas. And you referred to new areas. And since this is supposed to be a 5-year plan, but we're negotiating with a company for a 10-year contract with a 5-year renewal, there's a lot of things that need to be. I'll just use one example, and that's the lithium battery issue. And it's actually more of an issue, especially now that the governor's required that we're going to go so many electric vehicles. Dug down deep on that, you look at the number of electric vehicles, the length of the lifespan of a lithium battery, besides the small ones that we use at homes, the ones that are used in cars, they're actually claiming it's about an 8 to a 12 year, practically speaking. Tesla advertises up to 20 year life. But we've got quite a few thousands of cars actually on the road already. So within the lifespan of this plan, near the end of it, we're going to be dealing with the lithium battery problem in terms of waste, solid waste. So, you know, there's some things, I just use that as one example.
Absolutely. And just the plan needs to really be thought of as sort of like a living document. Like we are, as we get that information, I don't know if Jessica's on, I don't want to speak directly to that since we want to kind of stay focused on chapter one, but this is something where you are all providing us input and we're having, you know, we have to continue to make the plan better. It's not like, oh, we're going to get it adopted and then that's it. We don't think about it anymore. It's all the time. So as the laws change, as we get information from ecology on different requirements, as our system might change, we need the plan needs to change with it. So that is absolutely part of this work.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And Jessica will love talking batteries with you. She's like our resident expert. So, and we've got all kinds of fun stuff she's going to be talking about at the June meeting. So it's on our minds too.
Just to add to what Joelle said, because, we recognize right now that there is a lot of, balls in the air, if you might say, so ecology, or part of the law, does allow for opportunities to do mid-5-year adjustments to the plan. So there is amendment process. Maybe Clark County hasn't used it, but we're aware that other counties have used it that have been in similar situations where there's a lot of dynamics, things occurring. So just wanted to make aware that that is a process that's available and in fact, recognizing that Joelle's done some additional outreach to understand that so that we can accommodate things as they develop.
And we've added language from our last plan to this new draft that's really going to speak to that amendment process. And we want to make sure that we're educating you all on what that is and so that we are really making this current and we're not going to be in this place again.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then also just talking with Joelle, the solid waste management plan is stuff that we should be addressing every time we meet. So not just really like we're cramming everything all at once at the end because we have to satisfy things to get a grant. But every meeting we'll be dealing with these things. There's, right now it's at the batteries, but it could be something different down the road that is a new technology we don't even know about yet that we'll need to address. And we can't wait 5 years or 10 years to actually implement anything with that. All right. Make sure there's no questions on Zoom. Perfect. All right. So I was going to read through this and then ask for votes. So number one, contractual option for public ownership of transfer facilities, background statement. The county contract with Columbia Resource Company provides the option for the county to purchase Wildman and physical transfer stations for $1 with the right to purchase WTS if City of Washougal does not exercise the city's contractual option to purchase WTS. The soonest the county option can be exercised is December 31st, 2027. Staff recommendation for inclusion in Chapter 1. Solid waste staff recommend the county and or City of Washougal to exercise the available contractual options to purchase the facilities when the option of public ownership becomes available. So voting action, does SWAC concur with the staff recommendation regarding exercising the option of public ownership?
So is this the motion to vote on it, or is this the motion to discuss? Will we be on with discussion phase?
You know what? We can ask Mike or Doug on that. Did we want to have a discussion on that, or have we had that when you brought the technical memorandum and the previous presentation? Are we just asking for a vote, or did we want to have a discussion about that option?
Well, so I want to reiterate that we sort of got our wires crossed on this. This is actually recommendations for the regional system study that will later be updated and incorporated into this plan once they've been shopped around some more with the stakeholders. But you are our first stop. And so what we're asking for is a vote on these recommendations. If you do feel you need to discuss it, that's your prerogative.
The only thing I'd offer is the materials raises questions, because if we buy, let's say the county takes ownership of Washougal, as I understand it from the way the material presents itself, is that Waste Connections has the relationship and that carries over into where the waste goes. And and everything is trucked out to Wasco, I think. So if the county takes over ownership, what happens to the contractual relationship regarding the disposal of the waste? Is that something that just automatically goes with it, or does it need to be separately negotiated?
So you're factually incorrect. The transfer station contract is between the county and Waste Connections. The collection contract with Washougal has similar provisions for the option to buy. And that's something we've already discussed with Washougal and would be negotiated later. But the contract for the transfer and disposal would continue to be with the county.
Those are the kind of clarifications.
There. Yeah, no, that's reasonable. Yeah, no, I get that. It's confusing how Washougal set up their collection contract, and even Derek will tell you that. Any other questions you might have?
This is Joe. I've got a question for you. Although, and I'll just throw this out there, I'm generally in favor of the purchase. I believe in, you know, what's been presented. However, I have a large question. I'd like to see, I'm not talking a completely itemized list, but I'd like to see, you know, with purchase, what items, I mean, is it land only? Is it land and buildings? I can only assume it's land and buildings. I can only also assume, you know, it is no machinery involved. However, I've been wrong in the past. So,
no, that's actually correct. Mm-hmm. So the rolling stock remains with the contract and, or the contractor, however that works in the future. But we get full title to West Van and Central. And once again, we would negotiate with the City of Washougal on how to handle their option and that would most likely be executed sometime in 2029. How their contract with Waste Connections was set up was the facility was amortized over a 20-year life, and it was built in 2019 or 29, and so it would be 2029 before it is fully amortized. So at this time, I think they have to pay about $320,000 a year if they go earlier than that. So I think the most likely time frame would be when it has zero value. And so that's once again, that's how that one works. And in that case, it's a leased piece of property. And we're already in discussions on how that lease would be converted to ownership model.
Well, if that's the case, would I be out of place to make a motion that that SWAC carries forward with the recommendations of Clark County?
Just need a vote, not a motion, right?
Well, no, I think what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to propose a motion, and somebody seconds it, then you have a discussion, mm-hmm. then you vote on the motion. So there's got to be a motion to vote on.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what I was trying to do is, I'd like to make the motion.
I second the motion.
Okay. So we've had our discussion. If no one else has any comments, then you can just vote on it to approve the motion or not.
So we have a motion and we have a second. Any other comments or questions, discussion?
I hate to follow this, but I got one more. Okay. In the evaluation of the Washougal facility, it's been evaluated that it's kind of at capacity. And when you look at the tonnage of Washougal, it's really significant. So is there, if now we're talking up to 2029, is there a projected need of trying to acquire adjacent land to make that facility bigger? Should that be in any part of the consideration in committing to ownership of this plot of land?
So that's actually coming to you, Mike. Doug and JRMA are working on master plans for each site, and that'll be part of the 20-year capital improvement program that's coming out of the phase two of the regional system study. And you're going to see the way they laid it out. It is very similar to how it was envisioned in 2009 to be a modular style facility. So what they're going to do is put down a larger building directly adjacent to the new or to the existing one, and utilize the same kind of transfer tunnel and literally triple the size of the tip floors of space available. Is that correct, Doug? That's about the right square footage?
Yeah, that's fine. We evaluated it to determine if there was a way to do this, as with all the sites, to look at how phased construction could occur to expand a facility to meet the 20-year need or 20 plus years, and we can accommodate substantial expansion at that site, continue to operate it while it's being constructed, and by the time it's done, it will have the capacity to handle the waste stream for the next 20, 25 years.
So is this motion coming a little early? I mean, should this be happening now, or should this be happening after the work that you're doing, Doug, is complete and we get to see that? I guess I'm curious about the timing here and why this motion is coming up now.
Well, the ownership is somewhat separate from the actual capital improvement planning. And the idea being is we still need to start to shop this around and then come back with, final recommendations for the plan. So this is part of our preliminary planning effort, and yes, we'd prefer to get some feedback from you now as we move it forward.
But just to address the regional The regional solid waste system facilities plan that we're doing right now, we've completed the plans. We've met with various parties. We've met with Derek and CRC to show them these drawings and how the facilities will be expanded. The fact of the matter is the expansion of these facilities needs to occur. It's just a fact. And whether it's under the ownership, current ownership, or through the operations contract that it gets implemented, or it's through public ownership, these things will get built.
But that's what we're voting on as far as a recommendation as to whether it's done through your operations contract or through public ownership.
Actually, no. It's just the concept of ownership. And then the next two are very similar to what we're talking about. And this is really directly related to the two presentations on ownership that we've already given, all the documentation that we've provided. And I hope you had a chance to read that, Tim.
It was a while ago. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's why we really need to start moving this forward with our stakeholders. And you guys are the advisory committee to the county council. And so that's why we need to start moving it. And it is a separate question of who does what. That will come later, and you'll start to hear more about, you know, that once the negotiations are likely complete. So we would prefer to at least get a couple of these motions or voted on tonight if you guys are interested. But once again, this is always your call.
All right, I say we just take a vote on this. Mm-hmm. All in favor with the staff recommendations regarding the exercise of the option of public ownership? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Just want to throw out there that it looks like in the chat, if you guys didn't see it, Kim Harless looks like her mic died. She is a supportive.
Well, passes. All right. Number two, transfer station ownership options. Background statement. The RSS provides an analysis of the advantages and limitations of the following ownership options for consideration. These are as follows. Owned and operated by a private company, status quo option. Publicly owned with a limited public operation, scale house only, with facilities operated by a private company under contract. Publicly owned and contract. Solid waste staff recommends the option to publicly own and privately operate the regional transfer facilities under contract to be further evaluated. The evaluation should focus on the advantages and disadvantages of public operation of the scale houses versus fully contracted services.
If you guys don't mind, could I have that read one more time?
Yeah, I need it too much.
Yeah. All right. Transfer station ownership options. The RSS provides an analysis of the advantages and limitations of the following ownership options for considerations. They are as follows. Owned and operated by a private company, which is a status quo option. Publicly owned with limited public operation, scale house only, with facilities operated by a private company under contract or publicly owned and operated. Staff recommendation for inclusion in Chapter 1, solid waste staff recommends the option to publicly own and privately operate the regional transfer facilities under contract to be further evaluated. The evaluation should focus on the advantages and disadvantages of public operation of the scale houses versus fully contracted services.
So just so I'm clear, the staff's recommending that public ownership, private operation, and to be determined on the scale house operation, is that kind of the...
That's my understanding.
That is correct. I think that needs further evaluation.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay, so the scale house, the staff really hasn't determined what's the best course of action with that, but for the other portions they have.
So basically we're talking publicly owned, privately operated through contract.
Yep. Got it.
All right, can I get a motion to vote on this?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the staff's recommendation for public ownership and private operation.
Tim, do you mind a friendly amendment to include the phrase or the wording that we want to see additional study for possible public operation of the scale houses?
Right. That, yes.
Thanks. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, we can amend the wording as we get into finalizing the regional system study and the plan.
Right. I would provide a second.
Any comments, questions, discussion?
So again, this is Erin. This is voting to say we want to explore the option. Not that we are committed to conducting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question for all involved. Please bear with me. Obviously, I'm not saying that this is how we should go, but is there an opportunity in the future to completely, change course and go a different direction? I guess what I'm asking is, are we, making a decision today that is setting the course, or is this just moving forward with recommendation?
Remember, this has to go through county council, and then there will be major discussions similar to what occurred with the sewer district. And that's why we use that as a example. Mm-hmm. This is not going to happen overnight, even if we were to, recommend it. Nothing is set in stone in a plan, as Joelle mentioned. It's a living document.
Okay. I just wanted to check. Thank you.
And really, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're just providing, supporting the recommendation of the staff on this, move forward to feature other stakeholders. And even though we recommend this, it could be completely different by the time it gets implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my concern, because when you think of the scale house, what do you have isolated? For city employees surrounded by contracted operation, and they've got a court date, and I don't know what kind of support the scale house would have. You want a harmonious operation as much as possible. And isolating a scale house, is there a reason why the scale house has been identified as an area where we want to create public employees? Is there a reporting aspect?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's common. And that was included in the regional system study as an option for a reason. Just off the top of my head, both Thurston County and Metro both operate the scale houses. And really, it is about controlling the revenue. And then in those models, the contractor who operates is generally paid a set fee for operations. That could be a per ton fee or some other monthly fee. So, and so the county or organization that operates it controls the inbound revenue.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're voting, we'll be voting with a to be determined assessment as to whether, we would go with public or contracted ownership of the scale house. So again, I think we definitely would want to know what that final and obviously of that conclusion, and then maybe discuss and have a revised vote to that. But I think as it is now, I would probably agree with
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, carries. Number three, model for public ownership. The county and city support further evaluation of the formation of a multi-jurisdictional organization to manage the regional transfer system. The RFS analysis focused on the types of organizational structures available under the RCW. The available options evaluated include Interlocal Cooperation Act, ILA Chapter 39.34 RCW, Joint Municipal Utility Services, Chapter 39.106 RCW, Metropolitan Municipal Corporations, Chapter 38.58 RCW, Disposal District, Chapter 36.58 RCW. Staff recommendations, solid waste staff recommend further evaluation of the JMUS stakeholder outreach and input process prior to formation of a multi-jurisdictional organization. Does SWAC concur with staff recommendations?
So basically, just one more comment from Mike here. This is the piece where the JMUS is very similar to the Clean Water Alliance formed by Battleground, the center, in the county, and to run the sewer district. And that's the model that we're recommending be explored further. That's not what we're not saying we're going to go out and form a JMUS tomorrow, but we would like to explore that model further.
Ridgefield Battleground, Clark Regional in the county.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Can I get a motion to approve further exploration of JMUS?
I'll make the motion, but I there was a lot of language you read off there, Jason. I'm not really sure how to word the actual motion, how it should be worded.
Yeah. I'm with you too, Tim. But if I could summarize, or I should say I will summarize, and I'd love for clarification from, especially from Mike there, since it sounds like you were involved in this. It sounds like essentially there's just a recommendation that we look into and or consider, making a regional waste district, for lack of a better term, I guess. Is that correct?
And it's continue to look into, because you've been doing
it. Continue to look into it with a focus on JMUS. Yeah, however you guys want to phrase it, I just put these together to help us frame how to make recommendations in the RSS.
So how about this? I'll make a motion for the county to continue to look at the option of a regional solid waste agency.
There you go. Mike, I'd throw out there that I just saw a news article that said that the Oregon legislature is in trouble because they're not writing their bills at an eighth grade level. So eighth grade level, Mike. Okay, thank you. Anyhow, I would second. Yes, thank you.
It's got to be sixth grade for me.
I second the motion.
You have a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I thank you guys for taking the extra time to do this. We've been trying to get this chapter, as you know, voted on for a couple of different meetings, and we can move on from that now and back to the plan.
Chapter 3, garbage, recycling, and organics infrastructure and operations. Will and Doug.
Great. Good evening, everyone. My name is Will Elder, and I'm a planner with JRMA. Let me move this to slideshow. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Great, perfect. So Chapter 3 is actually a fairly dense chapter. It covers a lot of topics. It primarily focuses on garbage recycling, organics infrastructure, and operations. Before we dive into the recommendations, just want to kind of walk you through what the main sections of this chapter are. The first chapter is material collection and diversion. So this is kind of what you see at your curbside, how the operations function within the community. Then it moves on to the transfer and recovery processing, which is primarily the three transfer stations. Then landfill disposal and alternative technology. And so I'll go ahead and go through the recommendations from those various sections. Alternative technology is more just a summary of options available for consideration. So if you think about the collection and diversion, really the recommendations focus around improvement of services as well as the ability to collect more materials. So the first recommendation is adopt universal collection in urban areas. The second is to bundle the pricing in urban areas, non-WUTC and city contracts, garbage recycling and organics. So just a little bit of a specificity. Can't say it.
It's late today.
Yeah, it was like tongue-tied. The next action is to pilot special collection events in communities. And so that's really to make available for solid waste collection. So people have an opportunity outside of bringing materials to transfer stations. Again, bulky waste collection is part of garbage service. So a lot of communities actually have annual or biannual collection services as part of their collection. And then to also work with Department of Ecology and NWPSC to promote product stewardship bills. And that's kind of an ongoing activity. The next is regarding the transfer stations. So what you see here is central transfer and recycling. In looking at the improvements, and we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier as it related to Washougal, but they really focus around circulation and improved capacity. So what you see here is a proposal to add two inbound lanes and a new scale house, and this will really lighten up the queuing that's currently happening out on Highway 503, and then to install a scale house in the back. So this blue area, this gets at those, and so you see the scale house there. The next improvement is really for the residents of the area, and that is to extend the concrete wall that currently exists down here and extend that out all the way to the property line in the back. And then in the north, improve the screening for the residents up there. This is, unfortunately, a lot of activity going on a site plan, and so I wish I could zoom in. But what I did try to do is break this up into the various phases so we can do this kind of bite size. This is West Van that you see here. And there are four phases that are proposed for improvements. Again, the first being circulation. So what phase one looks at is adding a new commercial route entrance. So that's what you see right there at the top. Can you see my cursor?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. The other is to add a new staff entrance. And this will make sense in a couple phases. The other is to relocate this maintenance facility that you see down here, and so temporarily to move it here on this green block. And then the last is to add this exit for the hauling trucks that are going down to Tidewater, and that way they never really come into conflict with the public at all. So that improves the circulation. The next is to create organics, and so we heard about these new organics requirements. This is a way of looking at expanding the organics here, and that's the kind of pinkish purple. One of the phases that was probably on the other page, this kind of orange here, this is really site preparation in preparation of these organics transfer stations. So that is removing the water storage there for fire suppression. That is solved by adding this new water line that comes in here in phase one. And then once that site is prepped, this organics wing can actually be put in. And then the other is then a phase 1B, which is to expand that. So it's kind of two phase. You got this phase here for loading, and then additional capacity would be added on. So phase two is to actually construct a new office facility and parking area. And so there's been some questions about why we wouldn't be able to do phase three, which is the HHW and recycling. Well, you need to be able to create this new office and parking space before you can get to phase three, which is this blue, which is to take the current parking and build a new HHW and recycling area, as well as a new public entrance. And then the last phase would be going back to that second organics building is to include a new compactor here. And that's really to increase the throughput for additional tons.
We'll go back to that for a second. I want to just get through a big issue here. This facility plan is developed in a series of phases. The first thing is to improve the site circulation, as Will said. A key issue to what we do here is the relocation of the material recovery facility. It is at this time the intent where the MRF is in the back building that it would be removed and relocated to a new site. So in looking at the future, the idea is that once that MRF is moved, this creates that opportunity to offer the capacity to handle organics at this site as one option. It also offers the opportunity to handle other materials. So in anticipation of those future needs, this plan is being developed to accommodate that. This site's 21 acres, and it offers a sort of a kingpin in the whole solid waste system for Clark County to how this property gets used to meet not just the current, the future needs. But like I say, all this done in a phase plan to eventually grow the facility into meeting the future needs. And that's why the recycling facility out front needs to be expanded because right now, the recycling drop-off handles in little bins and they can take it back to the MRF. But in the future, when the MRF moves, the recycling area's got to be able to accommodate the public and be able to haul those materials to the processing. So this has been well thought out. We've been working on it for several, we worked on it in phase one, and now we're trying to get it more finalized in phase two. But I wanted to point out, particularly as it related to the organics. Now, again, that capacity and making these major improvements is dependent on the decisions and the timing to relocate the MRF. But I just want the SWAC to appreciate the value of this facility as being a part of the future of the solid waste system.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. So, you know, West Van is heavily influenced by the future MRF decision. CTR was heavily influenced on what might happen with a north option. And so that's why the main improvement focuses were just on the flow of traffic and reducing the backup. But there could be potential options depending on what happens with a decision on whether or not to locate a new facility up north. The last transfer station is Washougal. And this is really the first phase, or first option is to expand the ability for the HHW. So you can see that the road there is widened. The other is internal operational improvements. So a steel backsplash and chute along the east side of the building, but also consider a push wall. So really more operational. And then earlier there was a conversation about what the future holds for capacity. And so here you see that there is a expansion with a 10,000 square foot addition. And so that's really designed to expand the capacity of the station for possible waste, but also other materials such as organics.
So just then, to clarify,
I think that's a 30,000 square foot addition.
Oh.
Yeah, and the blue is the addition.
There we go. Sorry, I'm like having a tough time. I don't know if you guys can see the font, but yeah, so existing transfer station here, this is the expansion. And then the last two improvements are to add capacity here over by the scale house, as well as recommending a new office and parking on site. So the landfill disposal recommendations are pretty straightforward, and that is to continue using the existing disposal options at Finley Butte and really only consider any new options in the event that there is a change in the agreement with CRC and Waste Connections. And then also just a recognition that there are no new landfills in Clark County due to the underlying aquifer. And then, as I mentioned, this is there really were no formal recommendations on alternative technologies, but there is an appendix that looks at all sorts of different options that the county could consider moving forward that range anywhere from waste to energy to recovery options to, energy generation, and then around anaerobic digestion and composting of organics materials. And so with that, I think we're ready for questions.
I'd like to add one thing here, and that is in the sorting and the storage. One of the things that came out in the material that was provided before was that we realized $1.7 million of revenue from recycled materials. And there was little in glass. There was nothing in clear film. And there's a whole bunch of categories that are out there where if we have the space to sort, hold, there are markets there that where we could do a lot better given our waste stream. So as you're looking at this, my only point, besides encouraging the new MRF and the new location, is to take a full look at the potential market in recycling. And I want to thank Derek for calling me on the numbers that I rounded everybody, or he said I was totally off. He was absolutely right. I was totally off, because the numbers I was using were national. And I ended up getting access, thanks to Derek, their exposure to the actual numbers that they use in selling in the marketplace. And if we sold at the least, got the least return on the same tonnage, we would have realized $816,000 versus the 1.7. If Waste Connections was selling at the high side of the market on the same material, it would have been over 2.435 million. So we lost $1 million because we didn't have the ability to hold to possibly sell more effectively within the market. So as we look at our solid waste management, I think it is significant in design that we provide the storage for a broader base of sorted materials so we can get a higher return given all of the recyclables that we have coming through Clark County. So I just offer that as you look at your design. I think there's more things we ought to be setting aside than the things we are right now. And having the ability to store it to maximize market return when we finally sell it to the marketplace.
That's a good point. Let me just comment. In looking at these facility plans and the expansion, certainly one of the constraints they have, and it's just a matter of the fact that these facilities were designed years ago and they're generally at capacity. So there's very little opportunity to say do some floor sorting or do some other things. So with that in mind, we have looked at the idea that making these facilities larger, affording the opportunity to do some of those activities that you mentioned. But solid waste is a very fluid industry, and having more space and flexibility is certainly part of part of the mission in these plans that we're doing.
If you don't mind me throwing this out there, Mike, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not trying to shoot you down by any means. I'm just, you know, having some friendly debate. Although, you know, I'm the, I'm here as the ag specialist, if you will. If you guys didn't know, I spent 10 years driving semi-trucks in the trucking industry. And there's one minor catch to kind of how you mentioned that. And the first is, obviously, I think you probably understand, you know, the massive amount of material we may have to hold for a period of time in order to get those prices that, you know, you're kind of considering. But here's the other thing. Let's say that the price goes up and all of a sudden it's time to ship them out. Try sending out 20 flatbed semi loads in a day, whether that's, you know, central or whether that's, the port facility there, West Van, excuse me, I forgot the name for a second. All of a sudden you've got 20 maxi loads going out on, in a day, and you're going to swamp the crew. You're going to swamp the roads. You know, just the logistics of that is going to be, just insanity.
Oh, I totally agree. And that sensitivity, it's an art form. And that's why the expertise of a waste management, Waste Connections, excuse me, being national, their sensitivity to the marketplace and the design that we have, and possibly even using rail in our new location for the MRF, having access to rail to get it into some of these other markets. Because the reality, and I'll go back to the numbers that Derek corrected me on, if we were on national averages instead of 1.7 million, national average would have had 23 million. So there are other markets, if we can get our product to it, we got markets so we can get a higher return if we plan for it. That's all I would say.
Right, right. Hey, by the way, Will, since you're the one presenting this right now, I'm just curious. Okay, going back 6 months to a year ago, we had communications within SWAC about the future waste system within Clark County, and that included several options of, you know, do we build one more facility? Do we build two more facilities? I want to say one of them even was, you know, do we close down Central and replace it with other, something like that? How does that fit in? How does that part of this plan fit into what you're presenting right now?
Hey, Will, let me take that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I think you probably gave that presentation.
So part of, you're exactly correct. We have still the North Options study that we did. And we're going to be updating those numbers. So on CTR, as Will pointed out, the first thing that needs to get implemented is Waste Connection, or CRC, did some improvements at the entrance to accommodate some safety there. But we still don't have the capacity to handle the traffic without having off-site queue at all times. So the first thing to do, and something that can be implemented much quicker, is to build that service road in the back and that secondary scale to allow for the queuing. Then the option that you're bringing up is, there's certainly an option to expand, and we've developed a plan to expand CTR at this site, a full expansion, but it would require us to build on the adjacent property, which we'll have to go through a permit. So that's one option. The question there is to the county is this the best long-term site for having a facility of this nature? And I'm not here to say it isn't, but, you know, is it? There's issues with the property behind it. What's the condition? How developable it is? We have residential neighbors. All that has to be considered. Mm-hmm. And so there is an option of saying, okay, let's make some improvements at CTR, possibly allow that to continue to be for commercial, and build what we would call a satellite or a convenience center in another location that would primarily service the public. because the many of the problems that's the current CTR is the fact that there's 600 to 800 cars a day coming there. So that's another option, and that option is still being evaluated as part of the phase two. The third option is to just say we're going to build a whole new station in to replace this because it's just not the right location long term. So all three of those options are being updated in the cost and to be presented in the regional study. No decision at this time is to be made. There's a lot of issues with the timing of implementing these, whether it be to permit a new facility or even permit the expansion. Those questions are still out there, and we're evaluating them. But what we wanted to do is at least show improvements that can help alleviate current issues and allow CRC to operate a little, more economically. I don't know if Derek wants to add anything to that, or Mike, but that's the process that we have. There's been no decision on what option to do. Certainly the county wants further information on all these to before they pursue any one of those options.
I'll chime in here real quick, but we've got about 6 minutes left and we still need to vote on approval of this chapter. Basically, to know what we're going to do at Central, we need to do a comparative analysis and to siting a new facility. Yeah. And that would include a full-blown siting study and then get that down to three facilities, basically, or two sites, and then compare that to, expanding Central. That's how that works. It's a long, drawn-out process, and we're going to start that probably next year sometime.
Sure. Okay. By the way, I would love to start a motion that in an unprecedented situation, the Clark County plows down those condos that are next to CTR, and we just use that land instead. How about that?
If you want to know the truth, I've had that suggested, not – I suggested it before they were built. So not level them, but before they were built.
Okay. All right. Continuing on.
I have a question. It's more of an informal, vote. I would like to know who here on the commission has been to all three of these facilities and can.
Two of the three. I've
been to all three.
When was the last time that the commission has had a facilities?
Oh, it's been a while. We've got one coming up with an RFP on May
3rd. Yeah, so where I'm going.
Maybe a field trip for you guys.
That's where I'm going. And I've been to two of them as a patron. But we're talking about updates and plans. And as an engineering consultant myself, I mean, plans are great. Eyes on is where you really understand. And I think what's presented sounds great. And I know these facilities need updates and upgrades. And there's a lot of other questions about even siting new facilities. But I think this is a great opportunity for us to maybe get a guided tour of all of these facilities. Because as a commission, we probably should have that firsthand eyes on knowledge of these and can really be able to evaluate and picture what these potential upgrades to these facilities would be. So it's not a wrench into the vote. It's more of maybe let's make this an official agenda item and make something like that happen so that we can look at the facilities, have the plans, have Derek out there. I mean, and it just really, kind of get our hands dirty during operating hours and see what, see what Waste Connection is doing and where we need to make these improvements as they plan them. So
I like that idea.
I would like to make sure that this is something that we can address, but it's not a prerequisite for a vote. But I think this sounds great, but what I kept thinking was like, I don't even know I couldn't find the Washougal facility on a map if I had to right now. And I should be able to do that as a member of this commission, even though that's outside of my area. So
Actually, when you find it, you will be surprised.
Well, hopefully it's a pleasant surprise.
It's tiny. Compared to the
so anyway, you know, thank you for that, but I think I want to make sure that we come back around that. I think it would be great to you know, to get that. Plus, to, you know, I haven't met Derek personally either, so it would be great to actually, you know, to meet the people that we see on screen.
Absolutely. Can we move forward with a vote on Chapter 3?
I make the motion to approve Chapter 3 Garbage Recycling Organics Infrastructure Operations as presented.
I'd second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries. All right, Chapter 7, Mike and Doug, Funding and Finance.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah, this is all Doug, so if you need me, I'm still here.
Oh, you're on mute, Doug, I think.
Am I?
There we go. Now we can hear you.
Okay, I've just got to – I should have got this switched off. Sorry. Okay. Are you on – can you see this?
Not yet.
Not yet. Shoot. Where it is. All right. There we go. All right, now can you see it?
Yep.
Well, this Chapter 7 is funding and financing of the solid waste infrastructure and operations. And again, it really covers a lot of different things. Pretty much the background of this is that, you know, most of the whole solid waste system really operates as a utility. Cities, some cities have the authority to set their collection rates. Some cities and the county rely on setting their rates through the UTC, but still they're responsible for the services being delivered and the cost of those services as negotiated with their service provider. The county is responsible for setting the rates for the operations of the facilities and for and has the contract for the contract. For transport and disposal. And again, in general, there's really no general tax revenue being used in the system. So in the regional system plan, we also identified that there's going to be significant capital improvements being made. And again, the intent for funding for those capital improvements, that this will be updated as we produce that CIP, but the full intent is to be able to use funds as generated either by the rates or there may be situations where private money is also used. But with that, the chapter covers all of these issues, and these are the general recommendations. So the county will continue to be the lead agency for regulating and the planning and implementation of grants. I can't speak to the whole process of grants, but I know the county works with cities to push forward for grants for cities as part of the funding for their operation, and they continue to support working with cities for as a partner to get those. Process also recommends establishing and implementing the ongoing process to involve the steering committee and regional partners in the role concerning regulations for funding and expenditures. That is, any policies that might go in place are run through the steering committee and the SWAC to discuss those funding and expenditure decisions. Um, the continue existing programs for funding the regional system support with local financial system grants from the department. For instance, the county was able to secure a grant to do the regional system study and also grant money for the solid waste management plan update. And they will continue to pursue federal and state grants as appropriate to meet the goals and outcomes. And again, we might make a note from that study that, or from that previous discussion, Mike and Joel, about the possible use of the public works trust fund for future capital improvements related to maybe organics. That's a new item, but it probably comes under this. Continue to evaluate fundings to ensure funding for the solid waste prevention of waste prevention, recycling roles, and new revenue generated authorities, particularly as it relates to the collection and disposal of collection or disposal and collection, and establish a capital improvement fund for funding the improvements at the transfer stations using the revenue generated from the rates. And this, Mike can speak to this, but this is already part of the negotiations with CRC as part of the ongoing negotiations to secure funding and identify funding for these capital improvements as they are developed. But again, the nature of these recommendations are a continuance of relying on the rates, the collection rates, and the tip fees at the transfer stations to support all operations and services for solid waste. And like I said, there is also the opportunity to continue to coordinate with the operator or the contractor to finance certain improvements as needed. This is something that's ongoing as part of the negotiations. And if a new regional organization is established to look over the transfer station, one of the possibilities is to be able to issue revenue bonds secured by rates, but not by general fund. So, again, that's a recommendation of the of this financing and funding. Again, it's very general in nature, but I think the bottom line theme is to continue reliance on the service fees and rates as a public utility. Is there any questions?
Question I have one actually, sorry. About, can you go back one slide, Doug, about the capital improvement fund?
Yep.
So currently, have we made any capital improvements to any of these facilities since they've been implemented?
You know, the major improvement was made in 2006 or 2009 with the construction of Washougal. So there have been minor things done, but there's been no major capital investments to expand or to do anything. The last capital improvement made with CTR was to revise the entrance of the facility. So there's been minor improvements. If you recall, going back, and some of you might not have been part of the presentations on the phase one study, the condition of the facilities are fair to good. So there's not the buildings aren't falling down, and generally they've been cared for well. So that's good. So the major expansions are the fact that these facilities are just been outgrown. They weren't designed to handle this. Now, I should mention there has been capital improvements related to the compactors. I think they've both been in, over the years, in, either retrofitted or refurbished or new. I think a new compactor was put in at one of the facilities. I think it was
both facilities have had the compactors replaced in the last 3 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Which is, over $1 million or close to $2 million.
They're expensive. Yeah. they're big ticket items. So those have been the major investments that I'm aware of. Derek, I'm not aware of any others.
Yeah, we built Washougal. That's a pretty major investment. Expanded HHW facilities. Made modifications to oil and battery collection, housing, and so there's been, call them cosmetic, so it's kind of slightly smaller ones. But there's probably $1 to $2 million a year that are put into the transfer station on those types of projects. And then you get into paving and everything else that's involved. So.
And that's all currently. My question is so that's all currently. There's no fund established for any of that. How is that financed right now?
Through tip fees directly to CRC, who then pays for those capital improvements.
Got it. So those would be the private investments then.
Correct.
Yeah, I think. If there's paving or drainage issues or something, CRC takes care of those things.
Got it. Julie has.
Yeah, I was just going to add that the ratepayers pay for additional work fees added to the tip fee for construction at Central Transfer Station, a deceleration lane. But as Derek noted, the rest have been contractually obligated and paid for by the service provider.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I'd like to bring these recommendations to a vote.
I'll make the motion to approve Chapter 7, Funding and Finance, as presented.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. All right, thanks for getting through that, guys. Other business?
Just one thing I'd like to, without objection, have that report submitted for the record for SWAC. It is the completed analysis by the Washington State team on the how to handle recycling lithium batteries, recovering the cobalt, lithium, and manganese at incredibly profitable measures. They completed that a week ago, and it was considered academically credible enough that they all got A's towards their degree. they all graduated this year. But it was specifically done with the needs of Clark County in mind. So without objection, I'd like that to be part of our record.
What are the chances you have, is there a link to that as opposed to just,
I can send you the email copy of
it. An actual link?
Copy.
Do they have it
posted somewhere?
Posted on a website or anything like that anywhere?
I'll find out if it's being published at WSU.
Okay, that's just a lot easier to share than trying to swatch a whole document and,
it was more of a compliment to the students.
Yeah.
That it be part of our local records. So whether or not it is electronically stored or just administered to the library, I'd appreciate it on behalf of the students.
Okay.
They put a lot of work into it, and they may have come up with a novel way of breaking down those batteries. And just to give you an idea, the value per ton of lithium and cobalt, you're dealing with 20 to 50. In fact, a year ago, it was up to $80,000 a ton. So if we can get out in front of it in Clark County, it could be a nice revenue stream for us in the future.
Hopefully they pack that. All right, any other business? Public comment? Like to adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for being here. Do we have a motion there? I can't remember. Motion to adjourn.
We usually do. I don't think we get the objection.
I don't think I'll have
to. Doug's already on a phone call.
Thanks, everybody.
June 1st for our last special meeting, and then we'll be back on a regular schedule.
Wow. Say, before you guys jump off here, what was that date that we were planning to have a tour of facilities?
No date established.
Oh.
I think we need to coordinate it because, I mean, there's
spread out everywhere, but I think, you know, maybe, you know, 1 month we go one place and 2 weeks later another, okay. Or maybe we make it a field day, but it would probably, you know.
Party bus.
Yeah.
We are.
But I.
So, yeah. For an RFP, so I can talk to Derek about it.
Yeah.
To, and see if I can
get somebody. Or just the apartment.
We were doing all three sites, but not in one day. I think we're going to do two and then one. Like, do you want to go on a separate day? Because I think three in one day is a lot, but I mean, if you guys, you guys could work it out with Derek.
I just want to put it on record so that I can go back to it.
No, that's
it. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Sure. See you later. Bye.